show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Excuse me, sir. Can you recommend an inexpensive summer vacation?
Over there, in the media corner.
Woohoo!
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all the feedback from the geeks. This is the listener feedback show for Monday, July 27, 2009. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, Charles. Xavier, we meet again.
Charles Xavier. You could call me Magneto.
Oh, Charles.
We've been friends for so long.
This is the companion podcast to Technorama with all of the listener feedback, email, voicemail, comments, all that kind of stuff. So if you're new to Technorama, there is another major piece to this. So this may not make a whole lot of sense. If that's the case, you may want to go back one show in your iPod listener feedback catcher website. Wherever you get this show delivered, just scroll back or down or somewhere else. If you're brand new, hey, welcome aboard. This is a strange place to jump in, and this is, well, you could just say this is just a strange place. Otherwise, pull up a chair, spend a few minutes with us and a few of our closest friends.
We're proud to have them call us friends.
You're all our friends, man.
Who wrote in, called the listener line, or sent us an audio clip, which we will get to in just a moment. But Craig, don't
yes?
you just love it when someone calls you up and says,
my computer's not working?
I actually sit there and wait for the phone to ring just to hear that.
Where do you begin troubleshooting? The interface between the keyboard and the chair?
That's right. Yeah, somewhere between the fingertips of the user and the... Nah.
Now, you see, I know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to start by looking at what's on their screen, and that's made simple with something like Go to Assist. Go to Assist yes. allows you two-way screen sharing, file transfers, live chat, and it's all done over a secure connection. It's so easy to get started. Just go to gotoassist.com/podcast for your free 30-day trial. That's right, free for 30 days. Try it, test drive it. If you like it, great. If not, there's no obligation. But you have to go to gotoassist.com/podcast. Trust us, your technical assistance will be made much, much easier.
Yeah, if you wouldn't need help subscribing to our podcast, call us. We'll use GoToAssist. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, that's good.
Wait, we'll cut that out later.
Shall we begin with the voicemail?
Let's do, Chuck. I am sitting on pins and needles.
And now another message from Will the Computer Guy.
And I can't hear anything you're playing.
Hello, Chuck and Craig. Will
really?
The computer guy here.
No.
Craig, not Craig. Will the computer guy here. Hey, I'm listening to feedback for episode 2B6 and the Go to Assist promo. You asked, Chuck asked Craig, how often do you get asked that for support? And Craig said, LOTS. Chuck says, is that an acronym for something? Craig should have said, yes, lots of tech support. I know. Pretty lame. Catch y'all later. Bye.
We have listener feedback on our ad insertions. That's
it's
first.
Called ad penetration. We've done it.
That's really cool.
It's working. Right. It's working. Somebody call our guy.
Yeah, call our ad campaign manager. Yeah. All right, this next one is kind of long. There's actually subtopics, so we're going to pause along the way.
Oh.
And let you know what's going on.
All right.
Chuck, you got another phone call.
Hadn't heard this forever.
Who is it?
Bruce Barr.
OnStar?
Bruce Barr.
Juice Bar?
Bruce Bar!
I don't know what you're trying to tell me. Have him leave a message.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. And Greg, if he's there. And anybody else who might be there. It's Bruce.
Anyone else?
Kansas calling us on Drug Ground here in Kansas City. And I was just calling in about the show, of course. You know, I haven't been calling in as much lately since you guys have started back up. I don't know. You know, I just gotten out of the habit, I guess.
Not on a speed dial.
Anyway, Will, the computer guy, did call in this week. And there's some kind of rule that, you know, on weeks that Will, the computer guy, calls in, I can't call in. Not that I'm saying that I and Will and the computer guy are the same person. You know, that is absolutely not true. And Chuck gave testimony as to the fact that that was not true. And it should certainly be, you know, clear in his mind because I pay good money for that actor. I mean, we are not the same person.
Their physical dimensions are completely different.
So, you were talking about digital cameras and your first digital camera. I used to use Macintoshes, both at work and at home, back before everybody and their brother jumped on the bandwagon. This is pre-OS X, right? This is back in the old OS 7, OS 8, OS 9 days.
6, 7, 8, 9, whatever it takes.
And along with that, I had cutting edge here a quick take. A quick take 100.
I think that's
what
it was.
You could look up. It was a serial camera with internal memory once again, and did the same thing. In fact, Chuck, I think probably the camera you were describing is pretty much a PC version. But you know, either very similar manufacturers or the same manufacturer. I don't think the PC one was boxier looking, funnily enough, and the Mac version was a little bit rounded and sleeker looking. But it did remind me of the electronic binoculars that Luke would hold up to his face. But it could take real color pictures. And that funny little round connector actually reminds me of the old serial connector that you would find on the older Macintoshes. So that may actually be something, although I think that camera he was talking about predated the Macintoshes even. Don't know. Good times. Anyway, just wanted to comment on my early days of digital photography. Went on to another digital camera that had a pretty good, you know, zoom lens on it to replace that quick take. And
I don't think that had any zoom.
Used memory cards of some sort, although I don't think it was SD cards. I think it might have been the old MMC, you remember those?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And speaking of memory cards, it just occurred to me, I have seen some info here. Apparently there's an official version and there's a non-official version of this. And Sony was complaining, of course, because they weren't getting a license fee for the non-official version. But for the Memory Stick Pro user people, so the people who use Sony equipment, like the PSP, and other portable devices that use the Sony Memory Sticks, or specifically the Memory Stick Pro, there is apparently a little adapter where you can put in either a single micro SD card, or now the really cool ones, you can put in two micro SD cards into this adapter, and it reads both of those and gives you the Memory Stick Pro memory without having to pay the extra Sony penalty for that. And
is that legal?
Two things about this. Number one, why don't we have the equivalent of that for an SD card reader? Why don't we have an SD card reader that you can put two micro SDs into it and have it all be read as if it was a single one? I don't know what the differences are between those standards, but that would be cool because you can buy two 8-gig micro SDs much cheaper than a single 16.
All right, I'm going to pause right there for a sec. The first MP3 player that I have, which I don't know if it's on the infamous shelf of stuff.
Chuck's museum.
right behind me. It had two SD cards in it. It would look like you could put two 32 meg. I mean, it was an old MP3 player. But you could put two MMC cards. I apologize. Two MMC cards in it. And it would look like one. So you could load stuff on there. And he's right. Why don't we have devices where you could put two SD or micro SD in there?
Well, I know some of, I'm trying to remember which model it is. One of the higher end Nikons, you can put more than one SD card in it.
When's the last time you saw an SD card reader that you just slap on your machine that can take two of them? Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Why, it'd save a USB port, you know.
Well, I've got devices like my Nikon D50 that doesn't take high capacity cards, but I'd like to dump things onto an 8 or a 16 gig card. So put that, you know, as my backup device. Just copy right from SD to SD, although that would be painfully slow in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, let her go.
Well, you know, with the D70, you know, it takes the compact flash cards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a while back, I was like, I got tired of, I was stuck with a 1 gig card. And I was like, you know, I'm buying SD cards. Why can't I use my SD cards in here? So I went looking and I found a compact flash SD card adapter. And so that way I would have SD cards and I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, losing that one compact flash card or buying more. So that actually worked really well. And it made me think of it when Bruce was talking about the memory stick, you know, with the adapter, which is fantastic.
You haven't gone out and bought yourself that D5000 yet?
No, I don't need it. No, I don't need a 5000. No, my D90 is perfect.
That's right, you got the 90. What'd you do with your 70?
It's sitting right here. It's like, I'm not getting rid of it.
You haven't sold it?
No. What am I going to get for it?
More than...
No, I'd rather have two cameras. If somebody asked me to do a wedding or something, I'd rather have two cameras than
And
one.
How often does that come up?
I don't know, but Harrison was talking about wanting to learn how to take pictures too.
I'm kind of in this get rid of stuff I'm not using regularly mood. Like... Rock Band 2 is sitting up there for the Wii that gets used maybe once a month now. It's like, get it out of here. Well, we might use it for a party or somebody comes over. And how often do we have parties? Get rid of it. I'd rather get the, you know, 50 or 75 or 100 bucks for it.
No, and you got a good point, but no, I'm not getting rid of the camera. Other stuff I wouldn't mind, but no.
All right, let's finish this up.
In fact, buy two 16s if you have the money for it and have a 32 gig cheaper that way also, I believe. Anyway, that might not be true, though, for the 32 gig SDHC. The other thing is, if I can get 16 gigabytes into a micro SD card size, why is it that I can't get a full-size SD card that has a whole lot more capacity? Because physical size of the card, I could fit, you know, at least two of those in there, if not three, if I was clever about it. So what the heck is going on with that? Why don't we have bigger size SDHCs? We might get in size of memory that we actually have limitations. You know, SDHC did that with an actual physical difference. It's backwards compatible, but they had to change some things for SDHC to get the increased capacity past 2 gigabytes, I believe. And now we've got the 48s, the 16s, and even 32s out there, and announcements of maybe 64 gigabyte SDHC cards if you're rich enough. That's a little bit rich for my blood. And this call's gone along for a while here, so I will say goodbye, and I'm always enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Every week, it's great to have you back on a weekly basis, even if I'm not calling every week to tell you how much I'm enjoying it. You all be careful out there on the electronic frontier. This is Mr. Gadgets, and you know how to get a hold of me out there on Twitter or MrGadgets.com. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
He plugs his site. Yeah, did I understand right? He said if you can get a 16 gig micro SD, why can't you get a bigger SDHC, you know, standard SD card size?
I don't know, but he's got a. I think. I imagine part of this has to do with standards. For some reason, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out.
It reminds me of the argument of if the hard drive is bigger, how come you can't hold more?
Yeah.
You know, those old VAX drives, man, they ought to hold like terabytes on a platter.
You'd think, right? Hey, by the way, speaking of photography, going back just a step, I see T's in the chat room. You know, his new book, All of Twitter, just came out. And
yes.
On the front cover, the top row, he's got, or there's, he's got rows of Twitter icons on the cover.
Haven't seen the cover yet. Got to take a look.
Well, if you look in the top left, the top row, I'm right there. I'm the first one.
Aren't you special?
Yay. Hey, by the way, I was the reason I was going to mention the photography is because when we were at Myrtle Beach for Create South last year, this year,
yeah.
I took pictures of him on the beach. The sun was going down. I was like, great, here's T. He didn't mind modeling for somebody. So I wanted to take some pictures of him on the beach. He ended up using it in the book. So,
be sure
to look for that.
We have another voicemail to move on.
Hey, guys, it's Bruce again. Sorry, I forgot. Moon stuff. Besides the fact that, why did we go to the moon and then not go there again or keep going there or end up staying there permanently? We need to get off this rock. Oh, sorry, that's another podcast that I call in about that.
Oh, where's my rim shot?
So, the moon landing, actually, I did the calculations here. I was wrong. You remember the exact time frame, and it was actually the actual landing. It was of much interest to me all the way through the entire space program, but the actual landing, initial landing on the moon, that was the summer between my 8th grade year and my 9th grade year, and I was totally at that point engulfed and living, you know, science and math was my thing.
You couldn't get
back
any girls
there in school. And yes, the space program was it's hard for people who did not live through that to understand what a just inspiration that was. And so, man, yeah, I was totally glued to everything. And you made a comment, Chuck, that we need to have a space program again to develop some other new technologies. Amazed that we had lasers and stuff to bounce off the moon, things off the moon and things like that. I can't remember if the ham radio guys had been doing moon bounce at that particular point. The late 60s, they would have been into VHF frequencies easily and on into UHF frequencies, and that's where you need to go to do moon bounce. And they were actually bouncing radio communications off of the moon, using it as a giant reflective surface to bounce the radio signals back down. And I believe by 69, they would have been accomplishing that, but I'd have to look it up.
Hmm.
I guess we kind of do. You mean like the original space program that actually was why we developed integrated circuits for computer systems, which then made it possible to have the microcomputer revolution that's changed the world? Yeah, I think we could do with another one of those.
Definitely.
Talk about my eighth grade year. I think it was during my eighth grade year. It might have been my ninth grade year, but I think it's my eighth. And I still actually have this at home in the pile of carp. It's an anagram. In the mad scientist lab and pseudo.
How fitting tonight.
That's S-U-D-O. Yeah. I had a computer in eighth grade. I got it in my math class.
Listen.
Okay? It was this cardboard contraption that had an accumulator where I could store, you know, a number, and I had operations that I could do, and I could write out a program and store in some memory slots, and it was all these little sliders that slid in this cardboard contraption, and I could actually write programs with I guess there was maybe 8 different instructions in the set or something like this, write the program down and run through it manually on the computer and see if I got the answer out of it.
Wow.
Okay? I mean, computing power at that point was, my dad had one of these old calculators that he would use to run numbers as a salesman. Once a month, I'd go down with him to run these numbers to make sure everything was correct. And it was a series of numbers all the way across. It had like 10 columns of buttons, one for each column, and it had 10 rows of buttons, right? 0 through 9. And you put in your numbers there, and there was a big old lever on the side, and it had the paper tape and all that. That was what we had for computing power at this particular point. I remember when I was a senior in high school halfway through the year at Christmas time, that was when the first time that a four-banger calculator, a four-function calculator, went down to $200. $200.
Add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Sure.
No memory, no programmability, no graphing, no nothing. But $200 was unbelievably cheap for a four-function calculator, and about half of my physics class as a senior in high school got those as Christmas presents that year. And of course, all the guys that had calculators instead of slide rules were the ones that won big in the car rally that all the nerd guys had in the spring because they had better calculation capabilities.
Lambda, lambda, lambda.
I remember a story that Jerry Purnell was writing about in his column. He was a operations analyst, which is basically the precursor of systems engineer for NASA back in the very, very early days. This is like 61, 62. I think maybe was when this was actually taking place.
Pre-Mercury.
And one day they tell him, okay, we're going to go and take this problem and have it run, we're going to have them run it with the computers. And he was so excited. Oh boy, now I get to see the computers. These NASA computers, right? And so they walk over to this other building and here's this big sign on the door at the end of this long hallway. It says computers, right? And they open up the door, and it's this big, giant room with row after row of people sitting there with calculators.
That's the original definition.
Even NASA didn't have all the computing power in the world early on in the whole process. But those integrated circuits did get us to us eventually, and became some really interesting stuff once that microcomputer was born. But that's a different story, and maybe I'll tell you some more stories about that later on. Bye now.
Nerds!
I could be doing his own podcast, you know. He's got enough material.
I kept thinking of, I see Ogre standing over in the corner. Nerds!
We've got some email.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
Don't you just want to bounce along when you hear that music?
I am. Look at my webcam.
Hey, I want to thank Bruce Barr for the voicemail. That was terrific.
Yeah.
Lots of topic, but what is the sound, man? Our music thing cut out. Got to look
into
that.
No, that's where it stops. And then there's
an ending.
I thought
the band went on for like 2 minutes.
No, and when we're done, you play the other part.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I know that. I got that right here.
All right.
Okay, well, I thought they had like... Anyway... First email's from Bookaroo. He says, hi again, guys. You were talking about vacations and bringing stuff on vacations. I was with my Nikon D70, my MacBook, iPod, Canon HV20, video camera, GPS, a monopod, and a tripod, but did not bring the kids.
Did
not have space for them.
Got to have your priorities, right?
If you want to take a look at a couple of pictures, they're on Flickr. The URL is not humanly readable at this point without... rewinding 4 or 5 times. If you want me to read something with my nice accent, or would that be Nice accent? No nice. Problem. Well, that's what is it, how you spell it when he was in Nice, France, N-I-C-E.
That's right.
No problem. I work for a TV station and I have access to the equipment to record. Like the feedback I sent back was recorded in one of our voiceover booth. Oh, he's got a voiceover booth.
Wow. Mm, sweet. Maybe he can dub over one of our voices one time.
He says, by the way, you missed my birthday, July 12th. Oh, that was the week we were off.
Oh.
And it was my 40th birthday. Wah, 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 wah. It was probably the missing day in the calendar. Yeah, I bought a calendar. It didn't have any 12s on it. Sorry.
Call us back when you're 42.
It was on discount. Speaking of studio, I've been thinking a great deal this past week on what we can call this virtual studio we have.
The virtual studio?
Yeah, well, we refer to this room, physical room, kind of as a Chuck Chat studio, but you're not in this physical room.
No, not really.
But if since we do this show virtually, you're in one location, I'm in another, mm-hmm. I thought, how about the binary studio?
Well, which one of us is the one and the zero?
I think never mind that.
We've been through that before.
See, binary digits can be in two states. We're in two states.
Yeah,
right?
Confusion. Yeah.
Yeah, it could work. So we're going to refer to this as the virtual binary studio. And since we always sign off with the binary high five, I thought it makes sense that way anyway. So
that's a good one. Actually, that's good. I like that.
Unless you have any better ideas, we can now start saying, hey, live from the binary studios, it's Technorama.
I like that. Actually, I like that a lot.
That's why I was thinking a lot about it while I was running this week.
There's a lot going on in your life, but I'm glad you sorted that out.
Now we've got Yorga's email. It says, we've got a similar word. Oh, we were talking about cacophonic or cacophonic or whatever it was. No. I know what a cacophony is and how to say that, but I don't know what it is when it's an IC. Help, Grammar Girl. Save me. You're my only hope. He says, it means the exact same thing in Dutch, too. He goes to nl.wiktionary.org/wiki/cacophony. And then he says a whole bunch of stuff in Dutch that I can't make out. Messy hole of many sounds mixed. Would you like me to try this or not?
Well, you can speak Klingon. What's the difference?
And this looks an awful lot like Klingon.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Romelig heel van Ville Klenken door Elkar. Whoa! A magic portal just opened up in front of me.
A magic portal.
That was cool.
I remember one time back in 92, I threw that spell. Got us out of a sticky situation.
But now he tells me. Yeah. And then he goes on to comment about the pictures he sent in when he was in France. Yes, hard drive platters and P3 coolers. Those were very common in the little cars that were made into sculptures. That was pretty fun. Next email's from Claudio. Hey, Chuck and Craig, since you guys did cover the Commodore 64 Twitter client, I thought you'd enjoy this little gem I came across on another website. It's called Grackle 68K. Mm-hmm. It's a Twitter client for 68K Max Running System 6, and we all know how many of those are out there.
Twitter's everywhere. Twitter's everywhere.
You can find that at equant-retrochallenge-2009.blogspot.com. There's stuff in there. I already submitted this to dig.com myself. Curious to see how many digs it receives. Now all we need is a DOS version, and the set will be complete.
Now guess my what? Twitter plan is complete.
Yeah, guess what? No, I don't know.
I wouldn't doubt that there's a DOS client out there.
I mean, DOS Twitter client.
No, he's going to do it. You do that while I'm reading the last email.
A command line Twitter client.
What NICs does it support, and how do you have to have your config.sys configured?
I don't know. I don't want to even...
Works with the 3COM 501. Or 503 only. Last email's from Charles Stell. Hi, Chuck and Craig. Just heard the Moon 40th Anniversary podcast. The things left on the moon are called retro reflectors.
Oh, yes, I knew that.
How appropriate, as this is a retro show.
Yeah.
As they send light back along the path it arrived. And yes, it is an array of glass cylinders with the bottom ends cut like the corner of a cube. See, I said they were all 90-degree angles. That is, the three planes are 90 degrees to each other. Kind of like the corner of a room. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The laser ranging lab is at the McDonald Observatory on Mount Locke in West Texas. If you ever get there, take the tour. And don't forget to visit the gift shop on the way out. I think they use argon gas laser. The beam is green and visible at night when they do the ranging measurements. Also, if you ride a motorcycle up there to the observatory, take a big rock to put behind the rear tire as there is no flat parking and it is very steep. Here's a link to the UT site for the observatory, which is at utexas.edu/mcdonald/mcdonald.html. Just for fun, here is some nifty software for folks who stand in the fields and stare up at the sky. And he points to
Stellarium.
Stellarium.org. We mentioned that. Yes, very good application. Nice to have you guys back casting again. Charles Stell, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stell. May I have another?
Sure, have this one.
Thank you.
That's our dot, or that's our letter quality printer.
Yeah, letter quality.
Daisy wheel thing.
Yeah.
That takes us to the end of the listener feedback show. We appreciate your support. We really appreciate all the email and voicemail comments that you sent in. Thank you. Without that, there wouldn't be much of a listener feedback show. We'd have to go back to like one of those top 10 lists, which we have in the can if we ever need to pull it out.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on the listener line like Bruce and Will, the computer guy, did at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Put it in your speed dial so we don't have to say it every week. That would be handy.
Yeah.
You can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. If you've got an audio clip, we appreciate you sending it there. Or if you've got crazy links for the regular show, that also works. The website
crazy
is...
Crazy links.
What? That's all this show
no,
is?
No, I just like the sound of it. Yeah, send those crazy links in, kids.
I was just telling my daughter about a cat we named Crazy Legs when I was a kid.
Yeah, you need to rename your cat Crazy Links.
You can also send us a review on the iTunes Music Store. I am here. Was that your?
Wait, you need to name your cat Cat 5.
Was that your Skype client? Well, only after we get Cat 3 and 4. You know, you gotta have. You gotta have other cats.
Yeah.
Thanks to the following people for donating their time and talent to keeping Technorama going. Mad Mar for providing all the great blog content. If you're not going over to chuckchat.com during the week, you're missing out on a whole lot of stuff. There's more to this craziness than just what you hear on the podcast. There's crazy links going on the website.
Something like that.
Thank you, Ustream, for providing all the great streaming love you do on Sunday night. It's been working out pretty solid the last few weeks since we got re-up and running at the beginning of May. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, sure.
If you happen to be around Sundays at 10 Eastern, why not join us? chuckchat.com/webcam and join the fun there in the chat room, which is also provided by freenode.net. Oh, the guitar riff means it's time to get out of here.
What? You said it means it's time to party.
We can do that.
Yeah.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. There's a party going on over there. There's also a big old party going on at farpointmedia.net, where there's a whole bunch of great audio podcasts. Hey, the finalists for the podcast awards are the Parsec Awards came out, and there are a number of Farpoint shows and things showing up there. We encourage you to go over to farpointmedia.net and check out that stuff.
Hey, look, the list looked a little incomplete. We weren't on it.
Well, probably because we weren't out there this last year. We'll come back. We'll show our true colors.
Yeah, we'll show them.
See us live at Tech Dragon Con. I am way off. Let's just get this over with.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Binary high five.
101. Woo.